This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Michael Grosso making his first appearance on the Paracast. It won't be his last because he has lots of fascinating things to offer. Did you want to chime in a comment, Randall?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this conversation. And I know that it seems to be that I'm taking kind of a skeptical or maybe a pro versus con approach. But you know, it's not my intent to disagree as it is to discover. And sort of picking at these sort of uncertainties and trying to get a handle on what the possibilities could be, I think is the only alternative we have to figuring it out. So in other words, you know, yes, there are lots of different points of view and lots of different beliefs. And I don't know about you. You certainly are welcome to comment. I don't think that everybody's particular view carries equal weight. I really do think that some views and some opinions and some hypotheses make more sense and are more likely to be true than others simply because they do make more sense.
I agree completely with that. I mean, what I meant to say was that I tolerate the variety of opinions, even when they're based on complete ignorance, although in some instances, ignorance is can be criminal. But I'm not talking about politics right now. I'm talking about...
We could get into that.
We can't do politics here. But ignorance is not bliss?
I mean, people who have made no deep study of the paranormal, they're entitled to their opinions, but I'm not going to value the utterance of a complete ignoramus on a subject that I've studied for 30 years. In the same way that I would value the opinion of a colleague or someone, folks like you, who have been spent time thinking about this and reading about it. So, yeah, I agree with you completely. But on the other hand, what I am, first of all, talk about skepticism. I am a skeptic. The word skeptic comes from the Greek skeptein, and it means to inquire, to investigate.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean to doubt automatically. Recently, I had a review from the Skeptical Inquirer.
Oh, yeah.
By a person named Joe Nickel. He reviewed my book, The Man Who Could Fly, which is a book about levitation. If you haven't asked me anything about any of my books, by the way, I mean, I have written some books on these matters.
Well, we should talk about those before the end of the show, for sure, as well as any if you're doing any other talks or shows.
Sure. Well, let me just mention this about this review that a friend of mine, from a professor of religious studies from Princeton University, called me up and told me we were both laughing. He said, this idiotic review of your book appeared. I didn't know anything about it, by this known pseudo, I call him a pseudo skeptic. What he argues in this review is that Joseph of Cupertino, that's the person I wrote a book about, was basically a gymnast who had secretly been training himself to jump in the air and create the illusion that he could levitate. And he succeeded in doing this so that for 35 years, he fooled and tricked all of the people. He tricked popes, inquisitors, doctors, physicians, artists, philosophers, people that came from all over Europe to meet him, because not just because he was famous for his phenomena, but because of his holiness. This was the stupidest review of a book that anyone could write about another human being. He had one argument in it. It's an ad hominem argument. He said the 17th century was shot through with fanatical believers, and therefore it's not even conceivable that anything that they said in the 17th century about levitation could be true. When in fact, you see, for 35 years, Joseph levitated in broad daylight in front of thousands of people. We have at least 150 sworn affidavits by people from all classes of society. But all these people were simply taken in by Joseph, who knew how to jump in the air and give and produce the illusion of levitate. It's so stupid. Now, would I take that seriously? Of course not. That's the reason I'm telling you the story. This guy is supposed to be, he presents himself as a serious skeptic. He's not. He's basically a complete liar.
When I was just doing some research prior to the show, I ran across in the skeptical wiki, and it mentions your book, and they don't really come up with an argument that is, I think, fair-minded. They use terms like pseudoscience, which is, it's an attack to try to discredit a person rather than to try to take a fair-minded look at something like a phenomena or a story or a case study like you've done. So, I've been literally brought to tears by the skeptics because they can be pretty mean sometimes too. But proper skepticism, that would require us to, he's saying that somehow he was able to pull off an illusion that he was levitating. And I don't know if you've ever seen David Copperfield, but you can check out his videos, and he goes right over an audience and looks like he's flying over an audience and picks someone up out of the audience, and it looks like they are too. So, I mean, if we could do it now, maybe there were magicians back then. Maybe he did have some way of fooling people into thinking he was flying.
Okay. Well, anyway, I mean, that's just absurd to me. There's no way that, if you know the facts, as I do, as I have studied this material, gone back into the history of it, it's not even worth a minute discussing. But I will say this about levitation. I've witnessed a levitation of a 200-pound ex-Marine in one of my classes. I performed an experiment. And if you want, I'll tell you that story.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure.
Okay. I was team teaching a course on human personality and its unusual potentials. In that course, we talk about shamanism, mysticism, all kinds of unusual phenomena. As I say, there's another colleague that was present. So one day, the topic of levitation came up, and one of my students, a young woman, said, when we were kids, we used to play light as a feather. And she described that what it consists of is that the kids would touch a child, one child would sit there, and they'd say some words together, and they'd say lift, and the kid would go up in the air. And I'd never heard of anything like that. So I said, look, let's try it right here in class. And my colleague agreed. So I said, let's get the heaviest guy. And so we got this big 200-pound ex-Marine in the class and sat him down in a chair. And then I picked out four of the frailest-looking ladies, young women in the class, and they were instructed to put two fingers, the front of the finger, not the back, where you could pull, underneath the knees and underneath the elbows. And by the way, I should say this. We had been chanting and doing stuff together in the class. So we had a kind of rapport. So I said, let's breathe rhythmically. You ladies breathe rhythmically together. And I did some kind of statement to repeat just to get them mentally together. And then I said, we'll say lift. And so that's what we did. We got together and did a little chanting and then did a little breathing. And then I said, now lift. And lo and behold, up by lift, there was no pressure. By the way, there was no physical effort. They just moved their fingers up straight into the air. Went this 200-pound Marine. I will never, as I sit here and talk to you guys, forget the look on his face. Complete and total astonishment. He was up in the air. They were touching him, barely touching him, there's no effort. I mean, you can see if someone's pushing, right?
Let's do the cliffhanger again. find out about this levitation experiment with Michael Grosso and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockItPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockItPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockItPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I'm sitting with bated breath. Take the bait out of my breath. I want to hear about this levitation experiment. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, so he's up in the air. And everybody saw it. My colleague saw it. And gently, effortlessly, you know, he was at least, the young women were not large. So maybe they were 5'6", which their arms stretched. So he's at least 6 feet in the air, 200 pounds. And then gently lowered him. No effort, no strain, no fall, nothing. An unforgettable experience. Now, how does one explain that? A whole bunch of students witnessed it. Another teacher witnessed it. I witnessed it.
That's fascinating.
And never able to reproduce that effect. And the reason is, I tried it in other classes. I had never had a class in rapport the way I had with that class. That's the only explanation that I can think of. But since that time, I'm thinking of writing a paper. I've collected accounts from various people who have played this game when they were kids and didn't realize what they were doing, that they were doing something extraordinary. But we can't take the words of little children doing things when they were children.
Well, I don't know why not. I think children have amazing experiences that are just maybe too quickly written off by adults as, you know, an active imagination of a child.
Good point. Good point. Right. I agree.
Randall, I want to throw a theory out myself about children. I think before society programs you and brainwashes you, children can do lots of things that we can't measure, that we can't sense. But then society takes over and they lose the abilities or they forget how to access them.
No, I think you're absolutely right. So the absence of inhibition, one of the things we know from parapsychological research is that belief and expectation are good variables for predicting effectiveness. Look, you have the mystery of the placebo. Scientists don't seem to realize that they've got a mystery on their hands. With tons and tons of data, we know how effective placebos can be. They're almost as effective as antidepressants, just a tiny little different. So we already know that belief and expectation and imagination, when in full gear, tend to be conditions that are conducive to unusual psi phenomena. Maybe this group that we had been working with in that particular class I just told you about. We had a rapport. We had meditated and chanted together. And maybe their expectations were open to it happening. But I was never able to reproduce that effect. I mean, I tried it 2-3 times again and failed.
Of course, the assumption there is that the effect was actually being produced by the people who were apparently involved in it. When maybe, again, we are talking about there's a third party that's a clandestine third party, somebody studying us from a vantage point that we're unaware of that's able to cause these effects and then observe our reactions to what's going on with them. You know, there is that possibility. And it's not all that unreasonable to think it might be the case, especially when it's actually happened to people because we've done it ourselves. You know, when you look at some of the secret projects that the government has done on people with things like hallucinogens and other things like that. But imagine some kind of, again, if we go back to the idea that we've got some sort of an alien presence that is able to shield itself from our immediate awareness and has the ability to levitate things and remain invisible or change shape. We could explain that type of an event in that way without having to evoke the ability that it was actually the people involved that were doing it.
Well, the little challenge there of how the entities were playing around with us knew, and I didn't even know I was going to do that experiment. That was right in the instant. The student told us a story about light as a feather, and I said, let's do it. In 3 minutes, We were doing it. So if these entities are wherever they are, got to give them credit for showing up on time.
Absolutely. If that's what's going on, either way, it's a fascinating case. And again, here we go with the synchronicity thing. Now, I was once one of my sort of mainstay jobs when I wasn't trying to be a musician or starving artist, which I did do the starving artist part very successfully, by the way. It's the successful artist part that always eluded me. But I was working with someone who, as a child, she was able to open up to me because she had become aware that I was interested in paranormal and UFOs and thought, well, she could talk about an experience that she had when she was younger, which is she would go out to into a field, into one of her favorite play spots, an area to play. And what made it favorite for her is that when she went out there, it was by this tree out in a field. She swears she was able to, she said, fly around the tree, float around the tree. It's like not on a swing or something like that, but actually float up in the air somehow and move. And I thought it was really an interesting story because, you know, again, people do have these experiences.
Right.
Maybe the case of the Joseph of Cupertino, he was experiencing being levitated somehow. But again, I'm always sort of going, well, what's more reasonable? Could we have an actual high tech explanation to that that is just sort of beyond our awareness? Or is it really attributable to some sort of deity that's in another dimension that we don't really know for sure exists that's assigning him the power of some miraculous levitation? That's the part I have a hard time with.
Yeah, well, as I said, that's your way of looking at it.
So Michael has to leave right now, and I want to ask you, before you go, can you tell our listeners that they want to know more of what you do, where do they go?
What do I do? Well, I'm...
I'm talking about you have a site or something like that.
Yeah, I have a blog called consciousnessunbound.blog.com, where I at least once or twice a week present some ideas on these subjects. I have about 8 or so books out on the subject and a couple more coming. The most recent book I've written, in case anyone is interested in finding out about some of these things, is The Man Who Could Fly, St. Joseph of Cupertino and the Mystery of Levitation. I've written a book on life after death called Experiencing the Next World Now. Another book on levitation called...
Will they see all your books on your site, on your blog?
Yes, and they're all available on Amazon. I have a book list there on Amazon someplace. Nowadays, you buy stuff through Amazon anyway.
Right. Michael Grosso's, just look up his books on Amazon. Michael, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
All right. Thank you, guys. I have to go. Bye-bye now.
Gene and Randall, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The House is expected to vote on Tuesday on a resolution that would overturn President Trump's declaration of a national emergency along the southern border. The president promises to veto it. A sentencing memo from the special counsel's office says former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort chose to repeatedly violate the law. Prosecutors say he lied to them after agreeing to a plea deal in Washington. The sentencing memo also refers to accusations of witness tampering made against Manafort while he was out on bail, and that caused his bail to be revoked.
He was convicted on 8 counts after a trial in Virginia and agreed to a plea deal for 2 counts in Washington. The memo sent to the judge suggests that his alleged lies to investigators after the plea agreement should be taken into consideration. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, not to brag, but Buffalo Wild Wings is the official chicken wing of the NCAA. Yep, soak it in. You know who isn't the official chicken wing of the NCAA? Your couch. Because your couch doesn't have a partnership deal with the NCAA. So do you want to be home on your couch, the official nothing of the NCAA? Or do you want to be at Buffalo Wild Wings? The official place that has lots of TVs and beers and screaming fans, and it's officially better than your couch for college basketball. Buffalo Wild Wings. Please drink responsibly.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're back, Randall and I. And as you know, Michael Grosso said he had to leave, which is fine. That happens occasionally. Occasionally we get guests who can't stay the full 2 hours. For example, Eric Von Daniken only stayed 1 hour with us, but we had, of course, David Halperin to talk further about that and other subjects. We had Alejandro Rojas on recently for the full 2 hour recording session, which is part of the 3 hour show for the full show. But earlier, he could only stay for half the show, a couple of previous appearances. We try to work with the guest. I try to encourage them to stay for the full show so we could give them the full Paracast experience one way or the other, and we have time to focus in depth on different subjects. I was surprised because I got Michael's name through Tim Beckley that he knew nothing about the show. And I guess maybe there's some miscommunication. He didn't realize that we required him for a full show. He thought an hour or so is going to be fine. In any case, that's okay. So I sent him a letter saying, you know what? We could do the rest of the show the next day. And he said no. And he said no because of something I don't think we did. What's your perception, Randall?
I was a little surprised because I thought the discussion was going fairly well. But he bailed before the last two segments were completed, and you know, he was saying that he wasn't aware that the show was 2 hours. I think there may have been a miscommunication there regarding the time required, but it seemed that he was expecting kind of a full, unquestioning latitude to promote himself and his stuff. But, he, you know, this show, he's not lecturing to students here, so we're not really obligated to kindly like blindly nod in agreement to everything he says. We're discussing the issues. This is to dig into it a little bit deeper and provide our listeners with something more than just an infomercial. And it seemed like he was somewhat put off by the fact that, well, maybe, you know, we knew about quite a bit of this stuff already because we're fairly well versed in the paranormal here. And we have some people, especially in the consciousness forum, that are very well educated or at least self-educated in the concept. I mean, those forums, there's one that's got 12, I think, or 13 separate segments in it, each with, I think, over 100, almost 200 pages in it. So, you know, you add that up, that's a lot of commentary and discussion about the subject. And then, of course, you've got the other thread, Philosophy, Science, and the Unexplained, that went on for 53 pages. It's not like we necessarily just need to sit and listen to a lecture. We want to explore the issues a little bit deeper. And I think he wasn't really prepared for that, to tell you the truth.
It's kind of like he is used to going on shows where the guest asks a very simple question. He goes on and pontificates. He's a PhD and a teacher. We understand that. And then no one challenges him. How dare we challenge him? He said, for example, that maybe we just want to present our point of view. Well, I didn't present a point of view during the show. And Randall questioned him on a few points, tried to get him to expand on things. But we're not here to present our point of view, except when we are, when we do express it. But we allow a guest to have their say. If they're being deceptive, we'll call them out on it. If they need to explain or expand on something, we will call them out on it. But I think he went into this not understanding the ground rules, but he certainly seems like a bright guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of got the sense that he was feeling maybe a little bit defensive about the conversation at some points. I tried to explain, you know, it's not that I'm here to debunk or necessarily challenge his points of view, but that if there is some point to consider fair-mindedly that might be an alternative to some of the things he was suggesting, that, you know, why shouldn't we consider that? And I think that those are fair points. And he was given every opportunity to answer those questions in his own way, as well as promote his books. And had we continued with the other two segments, well, there would have been even more time for him to promote his books and what he does, because typically that's where we do a lot of that sort of thing, is towards the end of the show.
You know, what may have upset him is the fact that we wrapped up the show when he started mentioning each book, and I had to say we're out of time. He didn't realize that this is a network radio show. We operate by strict timing rules. It's not like After the Paracast where it's open-ended. With a regular radio show, we have to submit a recording within 1/10 of a second. That's the timing. Now, I record a little bit more and clean it up a little bit. But basically, when you hear an episode of the Paracast, you're hearing 99.5% of what went on during the original recording. That half percent, you know, maybe someone said a word they shouldn't say, or they stumble a little bit and we clean it up. Or we get disconnected and they clean it up. With Michael Grosso, I mispronounced his name a couple of times, and he corrected me, which is fine, you know. So I cleaned that up. I'm not going to say what I called him. It's just a logical mispronunciation. It's fixed.
Oh, yeah.
Here, the
sure,
show,
yeah.
It will go smoothly. It's fixed, you know, in the mix.
Exactly. I mean, we might stumble over a word now and then, or there might be a connection issue, something like that. But, you know, you're a wizard at fixing that stuff up. And all of the shows, they seem to come out really well in the end. Michael really didn't have anything to worry about, other than, I guess, that he felt pressured mainly because of time, because he was unaware that the show was going to run the full 2 hours. And I guess, to be fair to Michael, well, if he didn't realize that, thought he was only supposed to be there for an hour and had some appointment to go to and had stayed the extra 45 minutes and was running late, well, you know, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, why not come back and finish it out then? You know, if you were not satisfied as to the amount of promotion you got for your stuff in your books, well, the last two segments, come on back. Let's talk about that. No problem. But, you know, to feel so put off by a discussion where some of the ideas that are presented are explored in more depth than what you're comfortable with, well, you know, I'm not sure that that really is that good a promotion, to tell you the truth, for yourself. I mean, if he was, you know, coming across as being an authority on the subject, and he's written some books, but, yeah, I was surprising, you know, when I asked, you know, had you ever heard of the AWARE study? And this is really important when you're talking about the kind of stuff that he is into, including near-death experiences, because it's not a small study. He just hand-waved it as if it was completely irrelevant. And I find that when people do that, it's really that they're more interested in promoting their own personal agenda than actually exploring the truth of the subject matter. And that's where the Paracast, it's kind of double-edged. On one hand, it gets us into a little bit of hot water, but on the other hand, I think there are audience members who appreciate the fact that we do question the theories of people and try to think of alternatives that might make a little bit more sense and include the kind of studies where scientific efforts are made to verify the kind of claims that are made.
I remember one episode I did where a guest said he did all his research on the internet. And that's fine if you know what you're looking for, because any point of view can be found there. You want to look up an opinion on a subject, there'll be 1,000 different variations of different opinions and more, millions of different options on there. Anything you want to prove, there's something online to prove it with. It's like if you have a debate with somebody in one cable TV bubble and you're living in another or try to have a perspective, if they restrict themselves to that one bubble, they might not even be aware of what the rest of the world is like. And a lot of people do that now. I think that's one thing that hurts our society these days, is that somebody finds a little area where they're comfortable, they live in this little world, and as a result, the people who provide the information will pander to that audience to get bigger profits.
Oh, no doubt. That's definitely, I'm sure, a reality out there.
One more segment with Gene and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Detoxify, lose weight, and restore balance to your body by simply drinking tea. Surprised? Dr. Miller's Holy Tea can help you feel better and even lose weight, because Holy Tea is a unique herbal tea blend of all natural ingredients specially formulated by Dr. Bill Miller. Call this number, 888-660-7039, or click drmillersclinic.com. Take the first step toward better health. Drink tea from Dr. Miller's Clinic.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Final segment, a little bit earlier, Michael Grosso. Join us, author of a number of books on the paranormal. And he told us he had to leave for an appointment, which was fine, and then kind of trashed us. An email when I asked him to come back and finish the show. And he complained that we didn't give him enough time to promote his books. Well, you ask him a question, he can just say, well, it's in my book. No, called and then talk about the book. As I said in my book, this, that, and the other thing.
Well, we did actually talk about his book to some degree. And we've got a thread posting for him with a link to his book and his blog. And it, to be fair, I suppose that some people aren't comfortable with a certain style of interviewing. There is a range of interviewing styles from very passive, say like the Coast to Coast, the current version of that with George Norrie, where you know, he's happy, say, pandering to the guest's needs, being very agreeable with pretty much everything that they say. So then the next guest could come on that might have something completely different to say that's even contradictory, and they'll do the same thing for that guest. It works up the spectrum. We had Alejandro Rojas on, and he's very agreeable. Of course, he's with open minds. You know, so that kind of says the whole thing there. You know, you've got to be open-minded enough to listen to everybody's points of view. It extends up to, say, other kinds of interviewing, say, like, the front line or firing line, those kinds of investigative discussions where you'll have a panel who really dig into the nitty-gritty of a subject. And I think we're still somewhere in between. I don't think that we're the kind of interviewers that just are out to trash and debunk everything. But at the same time, I think we do have fair-minded questions and comments. And we like to delve into the information a little more deeply than simply the surface level. These are my books and this is what I have to say. It's like, why do you have to say that? What sort of evidence do you have to back up the kinds of beliefs you seem to promote? I think that's fair. I think that's what we're about. I think that's what makes the Paracast stand out, personally.
Certainly, if a person has confidence in their opinions, go out there and tell us. Now, I'll quote part of the letter that sounded strange to me. And he said, I'm afraid the discussion was wearing. You seem to want to explain levitation, saints and my Marines, NDEs, and everything by some vague, unknown something out there. I have no wish to carry on that conversation. We actually didn't provide a final answer to any of that stuff. I haven't. I don't think we know the answer.
Well, who does? But I don't think we were being vague in any way, shape, or form. If anyone was being vague, I think it was the kind of things that he was promoting. This is the notion of spirituality or idealism versus materialism. Well, what's a non-material approach? How do we explain that? I think all of those notions are pretty vague in and of themselves. So when I say something like, I think it could be explained by an advanced technology, that's not being vague. That's proposing something that is very concrete. And when I talk about tests, scientific tests, where you have verifiable information by way of, say, a screen, like in the AWARE study, in operating rooms, in actual operating rooms, where they have thousands of cases that they study, that's not being vague. It's not being vague at all. And yet, you know, for some reason, say, stories about religious figure from the distant past that was written about some 100 years after the fact, I mean, are we really supposed to think that that's all perfectly accurate and just take it at face value as if it's the gospel truth? Well, I think it's fair to question it. You know, I brought up the idea about this Joseph Capitino of Capitino, this is the man who could fly book, and that, well, we have magicians today that can make people appear to fly. And I mentioned David Copperfield, and that there were magicians back in those days. So perhaps it could have been some sort of an illusion. Well, to simply hand wave that is ridiculous, I don't think is fair-minded. It's like, well, yeah, okay, maybe that's what happened. I mean, it seems more reasonable than suggesting, well, that some divine power was able to give a person the ability to be able to fly around because they want to without any wings.
It's the yellow sun, okay, if you're from Krypton. And you have a red sun there, so you're just a human. But if you go to Earth or someplace with a yellow sun, it recharges you, makes you a super... No, that's ridiculous.
Okay, but to be fair, yes, okay, maybe we were pressuring him a little bit, or I was, and I should have just let him kind of ramble on and do what he does as a teacher. I'm sure he's used to lecturing to students for, you know, hours at a time without anyone giving any feedback or any challenge to what he has to say. And maybe that would be more comfortable for him because he's used to that sort of thing. And as an interviewer, it might have been maybe a little more professional of me to just simply let him do that so that he would be more comfortable expressing his own points of view. So, you know, for those out there who think that that's what I should have done, you know, I'll apologize to those people myself for that particular thing. But for those who do appreciate a little more discerning point of view and someone who wants to dig a little deeper into the subject matter, well, I hope you're glad that that's what we attempted to do. That's as much as I can say.
But that's the way the PowerCast has been going for 13 years now. We're just about at the 13th anniversary. The show premiered on February 28th, 2006. This show is being broadcast on February 24th, 2019, just about 13 years.
That's an amazing accomplishment, really. Just in my short time here, and even volunteering as I do with the show, essentially I do a little bit of research for the show, and I'm fairly well versed in quite a few subjects anyway, so I'm able to come on and talk about it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of enjoyment, but you have the extra tasks of making sure the show is produced properly for the stations, like you said, and that's really an amazing accomplishment for the field as a whole. I think it deserves some recognition.
Well, thank you. It's just what I do. We started this kind of show really with the technology show, the Tech Night Out Live, in 2002. We were a podcast then, before there was such a thing as a podcast. We were pioneers. There were internet radio shows, but we were one of the early ones. We were with a network called MacRadio.com, and that domain has since been sold off, but I do own now MacRadio.net. So if you go there, you see the Tech Night Out Live. It's another passage there. We premiered the PowerCast in 2006, and we're still here, never miss an episode. I mean, occasionally we have a repeat on the tech show, but this one, there has never been a repeat. It's always new show, every single episode. Every single episode, I sit here, and I smooth it out and get ready for broadcast every single episode.
Yeah, we have some repeat guests, you know, but sometimes they've got some new things to say as well. I mean, maybe unless you're Stan Friedman, I think he's been doing the same lecture since 1969, but still, he's fun to have on every once in a while. Maybe now, and we get the odd comment that, well, maybe it's time to upgrade the format a little bit or change the format a little bit, and we're I think we're trying to add our own new flavor to the show because, you know, Chris O'Brien is gone, and we need to evolve the show to fill that gap because, of course, I can't replace Chris. I have tremendous respect for Chris, and I wouldn't even try to replace Chris because it just wouldn't work. I can't be Chris. I got to be myself and try to add my own flavor to the show somehow. So yeah, I hope people can forgive me for doing that. But if listeners out there have a suggestion for sort of a way to change the format or add some element to the show that they'd like to hear, then tell us about it on the forum. Come in and let us know, and we'll see if it will work out.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. We're modifying those pages. Look for the official Paracast Fan Club on Facebook. We also have a second radio show for you after the Paracast, uncensored. You never know what's going to happen next. In order to download that show, you have to subscribe to the Paracast Plus. You also get a version of the Paracast that's free of the network ads. Better quality audio. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. Plus.theparacast.com. It's your best way to support this show. Plus.theparacast.com for more info. It's Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.